Hi, everyone. My name is Matt M., chronic compulsive eater from New Jersey. I just want to invite God into the room by saying the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity, extend the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, I always say that before I speak. I'm very grateful to be here today. I've had a lot going on in my life. I'm a chronic relapser. I've been up and down the scales. I've been in and out of the food, and I never thought I'd get recovered again. It's been a little over 6 months, and I worked the steps with my sponsor, and I'm an available sponsor. I sponsored with a big book, and I read the big book with my sponsees, and I go to like 3 or 4 meetings a week, and I just keep my head above water one day at a time. I've always been a compulsive overeater since I was a young child, since I was a little 8 years old, right? I was in third grade, when I used to sneak food in the cafeteria and sneak food for my friends and actually beg and borrow and steal to get more food. At a young age, I learned to steal money from my grandmother's purse, my mother's purse, to get groceries, little snacks and stuff like that at the grocery store. I would also take foods that my grandmother would make in the kitchen. And I'd sneak down the kitchen late at night and just dive into the leftovers and just sit there for hours at the kitchen table, just eating myself into an oblivion. You know, I remember this one time my grandmother made a soup and I reached in and took out the meat that was inside the soup and I shoved it under the couch to save it for later. I mean, who does that? Those kind of things. You know, that I definitely knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what to call it. I started gaining a lot of weight when I entered middle school. Into high school, I was packing on the pounds. I was active because I was in the marching band, but they had to sew 2 pairs of pants together and put darts in the side for them to fit me. And same thing in the jacket, put darts in the jacket for the jacket to fit me because it was polyester, doesn't breathe. And it had to get me able to a uniform to fit me. So I was the biggest one in the field. You can't miss me in the pictures, the aerial photographs. Like, there I am. There's Matt. There we all know where Matt is. On the field, and my family, they used to have refreshments during the halftime of the game, and I would just pick out on those as well. It'd be sugar and beverages, you know, sugar from the D&D, and I would gorge myself in that, and people would like laugh at me behind my back. I was teased a lot since third grade. I was bullied a lot. I was called Fat Matt, Pig, Whale. I was hit. I was punched. Stuff was stolen out of my locker. I was fat shamed in the locker room during training for gym. Also, there was time growing up in high school, I realized that I liked guys. So that was really uncomfortable for me too, because, you know, in the gay community is very, 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 very non, it's very discriminatory. You know, if you don't look perfect, I believe that I wasn't going to find love. And, you know, I was a morbidly obese. So like no one's going to look my way. So I did join a lot of queer organizations, you know, for support. I came out in college and, you know, I gained more weight from that. Luckily I didn't become an alcoholic because I was binge drinking in college, going to all kinds of parties and stuff like that. So, I've gone through so many jobs growing up, but I would usually start really strong in the job, do very well for a while and get fired for doing something stupid. Like, you know, like either messing up the money or, you know, one time I got fired from my job for looking up. I was on the internet looking up inappropriate things. Another thing, I got fired. So I was begging, borrowing, and stealing money from the register. And another thing, I was borrowing money from customers and asking them for change, like a panhandler. So I got fired from my one job at Pathmark. I had the job at Toys R Us. I got fired because they didn't like how I was working. Luckily, I never got arrested. I stole money from the till. And I never got caught for it. I don't know how God was watching over me even then. But I used that money for food right away, fast food. I have tons of jobs over the years. And a lot of these jobs had to do with, like, you know, they would have like dinners and lunches and stuff for the employees. And I would be there first thing there, gorging myself and even ordering food out, extra food to take home. So, you know, it was hard for me to keep a job. And finally, I got this job now where I work at Lowe's and I keep the job. I've been here at this job for almost 2.5 years. And I've had my shares and ups and downs, but I was struggling eating food out of the fridge that wasn't mine. So it's difficult, you know, for me. I struggle with thievery. I struggle with stealing and I struggled with, a lot of different other behaviors that were not behaviors that a recovered person exhibits, you know. So I take it one day at a time. I gave up sugar. I'm giving up sugar. I give up a lot of other things in my life. I'm losing some weight slowly, one pound at a time. I have to lose about 50 pounds before my gastric sleeve surgery in April, and it's not easy. I feel the pressure to do that. I've been in and out of the hospital with different tests getting done. I got to get two exams done this Friday. I got one done last Friday. I have to get heart surgery on March 2nd to put a defibrillator in my heart because I have a weak heart due to CHF and AFib. So they want to put a defibrillator in my chest. So that's another thing I don't need, but that weight is not helping. I just got on, I have plantar fasciitis in my right foot because it's weight related. And also because I had arch support issues, and I have to get fitted for orthotics next week, right after the day after my surgery. So it's like, you know, I have so much going on. It's just very, very difficult, you know, sometimes for me to think like, how am I going to get through all this? But I have faith in my higher power. I have faith in my friends and family, the people who support me in the rooms, you know, and I have a good support network, but it can be very overwhelming sometimes with everything going on. You know, I came in the rooms around 2007. Thank you to my OA angel who, Audrey, I never saw her again. Once she brought me to the room, she quit. The store closed down where I was working. I never saw her again. And, actually, her two sons were involved in a movie, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. They were the little boy, her twins. They were the little boy from that movie, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. Her sons were the actors, and it was pretty cool. So that's where I knew her from. And I started going to meetings in 2007. I lost about 110 pounds. I was on the pink cloud. I did so well. Then I started going into my cycle of relapse and recovery, recovery and relapse. For years, I packed myself up, even in the room, back up to almost 700 pounds. And I'm back down to early 500s, like 501 right now. It's up to almost 700. So, you know, it's not easy. This disease is kind of baffling, powerful. It finds ways to lie to me and convince me that I'm doing the right thing when I know I'm not, deep down. And I'm not easy. I try not to order out as much either. I try to eat what I have at home and try not to like, you know, look for outside sources of food that is not mine, you know, which is not easy. And I had a lot of loss in my life back in 2001. I lost my grandmother to heart issues. She was only 68 years old. Then 2 years later, I found out my mother had stage 4 colon cancer. She was gone within 6 months, 2004. And then my uncle in 2006, my mother's brother, who I lived with, he died from a heart attack. His heart gave out, his defibrillator failed, and he died at the mall. And he fell and he had a heart attack. And then my great aunt Pat, my uncle's my great uncle is my grandmother's brother. His wife, she got colon cancer and she died too. Around the same time my mother died, just around the same year. So, you know, it's just a lot of loss, and I had to give up the house. I was living in my house that my family left to me after they all passed away, and I couldn't afford it. So I was forced to move right away after I blew the $50,000 life insurance policy on bills and food and other things like that, buying stuff I didn't need. You know, I ran through that money so quick. And then I sold the house, and I used that money over hundreds of thousands of dollars I wasted. Within 5 years, all that money was gone. It was just gone. I was almost evicted multiple times out of my trailer that I was living in Avenelle, because of lack of paying my rent. My uncle always came to my rescue. He bailed me out, paid my rent, my back rent, and I was able to stay where I was. But I was so big, the trailer was falling apart around me. The floor was caving in because of my weight. It was an older trailer. So we got plywood put in to reinforce the floors, and the kitchen was falling apart through the floor. The bathroom was falling apart, and it had to be condemned. And so I moved in. After that, I moved two or three times. Then I moved in with a close friend of mine who came into the rooms because of me. And I lived with her for about a year. I lost a lot of weight, but it didn't work out because I was also stealing food from her. And I made her life miserable and her family's life miserable, and she kicked me out. And I've been where I am now for the last 5.5 years in a guest house where I live at a rooming house. I pay my rent by month to month. And there was times even when I got behind my rent because I was so in the food that I spent my rent money on groceries and fast food and other stuff that I didn't need to be spending my money on. But luckily, God is good. I had a landlord who allowed me to get caught up on myself. And my friend who I was living with, she helped me like get my finances back under control to make sure my rent was paid. And so I got caught up my rent within a couple months. I was back on track with my rent. So this just goes to show that, you know, the unmanageability of this disease and what it can do to you if you allow it to take control of your life. You know, it's not easy. But recently, last 6 months, I started working with the person from OA Big Book Solutions, my sponsor, Amanda. We work together. I go to a couple of meetings of their meetings every week. And I go to my other meetings, like my meeting, this meeting today here, and another meeting on Sunday night, a men's meeting. So I go to meetings during the week, during the whole week, except Saturday. I take Saturday one day off. And I work the step through the steps. And now what I'm doing is listening to podcasts that she's got me listening to, Joe and Charlie podcasts on YouTube, and you know, to get more involved with the Big Book. And she wants me to run and sign up to moderate the Retire at Night meeting, which is very interesting because you have to really know the Big Book, like the back of your hand, back and forth, in order to teach the Big Book on this during this meeting. So it's very, very involved, very in depth. And I know I can do it because I did a mock session with her on the phone. So I'm just very grateful that I don't have to, like, you know, be alone in this disease. You know, it's one day at a time, and I'm grateful I found recovery, and I'm grateful to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with others. I make outreach calls to newcomers. I take care of my health. I'm keep my room clean. I could do a little bit better with my hygiene. I struggle with my depression, shower every day, but that's just one of the consequences of my illness. I have mental illness, so it's not easy, but I do take care of myself as best I can. So I'm very grateful. You know, I was asked to speak. I'm very grateful to be here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.